Hello, I'm back. Oh yeah, I'll cut that out. Hello and welcome back to Simple Tech Media Podcast. I am Tina and I am alone today. I hopped on, I didn't even tell Nikki that I was going to record, and I thought I would give you all kind of a heads up of what's going on behind the scenes for myself. And then I know that Nikki will be ready to join us again soon, and she can decide how much of her behind the scenes story she wants to share with us at that time, if she does. And if not, that's fine. So Nikki and I have taken a little hiatus over the summer and into this new school year. I'll give a little background for those of you who are just finding us. Nikki and I have created Simple Tech Media in an effort to help make the connection between technology and the everyday person a little bit easier. Now, this last year, Nikki and I have gone through the process of just kind of dabbling into this idea of our Simple Tech Media company. We went into this last year with this idea that we knew it wasn't going to be perfect, but we just wanted to put our foot in the water, dip our toes in the water, get the feel of what it might look like for us, how much time it might take behind the scenes for us, come up with a plan. And we have constantly been reevaluating, adjusting, adapting, so on and so forth. At this point right now, we both have gone through major career transitions over the past few months. End of May, early June, we put out our last podcast episode that you may or may not have seen. And in that episode, we talked about both of us making some major career changes. Nikki actually moved, and so she's moved across the country. She's been going through that process. She has started a new position, and that is not something that I plan to talk about today. I have spoken with Nikki. We've texted each other. She is doing great. I've had a lot of people reach out and say, "How's Nikki?" She's doing great. She's getting used to her new position, and she's getting used to her new location, all of those things. And if any of you have ever moved, you will know how much it takes out of you to do all of that. She's also told me behind the scenes that she is working on some ideas that she has for videos for us. I know that you all really like the videos that she does. She does a great job with it, and she has some plans. Now, the last time we spoke, I did mention that I was transitioning as well in my career. And I am no longer teaching full-time. I am still teaching part-time as an adjunct faculty member. So I still have my foot in the door with education, and I am really enjoying that right now. We'll see how long I continue on with that. But for right now, for the indefinite future, I plan to teach at least a couple of classes a semester. It'll help me stay relevant with what's happening in the field, and it will force me to keep those connections with college age students. And honestly, it really is good for me to have the ability to see people face to face on a regular basis, to make those connections. And so I'm really enjoying that part of the change that I've made. I only teach on Tuesday, Thursdays right now, and I really love it. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I have another job that I am doing, and I get to work from home for it. So this is something that I've really felt the pull for probably the last 2 years or so, but really this last year. I really kept feeling this pull to try to find a position where I can work from home, get experience doing that. And it's more than me just staying home and not wanting to go out anywhere, which honestly, that's a perk for somebody who likes to just be home. I am a homebody. But it's also to be able to pass on information about that to others. If you're like me, you have seen on different social media platforms all of these accounts that come out and they'll say, "Oh, it's so easy to work from home. You have all these opportunities. You can, you know, buy these products and it'll wiggle your mouse and you don't even really have to do anything and get paid for it." And to me, that's a huge red flag. Why would I want to be in a position where I don't actually have to do any work to get paid? Now, the lazy part of me might be intrigued by that, but the professional part of me, I want to be good at my job and I want to do a good job for somebody. There is something to be said for a job well done. And I can't imagine wanting to be in a position where I wasn't using my brain each day, doing the best that I can for the person, the entity, the company, whoever it is that I'm working for. And so I just feel like it's a good way for me to gain experience and to have more of an understanding of the process of working from home, some of the pros and cons for working from home. And I have started a position and I am absolutely loving it. So this summer, I went through the process of looking for a virtual assistant position. And if you have our Facebook page that you follow or our Instagram, you might have seen that I put out some information that I was dabbling in this field. Virtual assistants are so popular right now, and I was just really curious to see how saturated that field is. And I was not surprised at the saturation. I am shocked at how many people still try to act like there aren't a million people trying to get these few jobs that are going out there. Switching into the virtual assistant arena is a difficult process that I did go through this summer. And for me, it was just kind of a science project to be able to see the process. I love getting hands-on and really getting a feel for what's going on out there. But I just wanted to take this time with this episode to talk about the process of going into a virtual assistant position, the things that I've seen, the things that to me are red flags, things that just some advice that if I can pass along, I will. And I come to the other side of it telling you that I did find a position that I am working in and I absolutely love it. Now, disclaimer, I will never give specifics about places that I applied for. I will never give specifics about a places I currently work for. I will just kind of give an overview of the process, things that I saw, and hopefully it'll help somebody who might also be thinking about transitioning into the virtual assistant arena. And it really is an arena from what I can see. Now, with my background, I have bachelor's degrees in medical office administration and legal office administration, which would transition very easily into a virtual assistant position. Now, one of the things that I have found is that there are a ton of courses out there for people to purchase if you're wanting to go into virtual assisting. I actually purchased one of the classes that I came across. And for the most part, I think that it's been pretty helpful. One of the frustrations that I would say for me has come with it is that the training that you're paying for, first of all, it's not cheap. It is an investment in your career. And, you know, I knew that going into it. A lot of what they were saying were things that I'm already familiar with based on just my background, which was fine. I knew that going into it. I just wanted to see how they were kind of marketing this to the everyday person who is wanting to sign up for a virtual assistant type position. And there was this add-on that you could do to have access to this extra training specific to different softwares that might be used in a virtual assistant position. I think the biggest frustration for me with investing in the extra training courses was that they're not up to date. And that is something that for myself, I can work around, that's fine. I think for other people who are really truly relying on this to help them learn how to be in this field, to me that is a frustration. And on the end of the company who put these together, I understand technology changes so quickly, so fast. I understand that they're not gonna be able to keep it up to date within, you know, the month or whatever. But for some of the classes that are included in this subscription that you're paying for, it is expensive for them to be years off from being updated. To me, that is it's just kind of frustrating because you could go to YouTube and you could find things that are probably a little bit more up to date. And so putting that investment into a product that's not relevant at that time, I don't know if there's a way around it. To me, that was something to be aware of. So I think if I could say anything is if you do decide to purchase a course that's out there online, from what I've seen from the one that I purchased, I do see value in it. I don't regret that I purchased it. I will say, though, don't purchase a course on virtual assistant work or that transition into becoming a virtual assistant, assuming that it's going to teach you everything you would need to know to be the perfect virtual assistant. I think that's just my takeaway from it. A lot of what came from the courses that I purchased was very helpful. Some reminders, some ideas of ways of finding clients, some ideas for putting into a contract to make sure that things are lining up properly, some ideas for how to market yourself and how to price yourself. I think all of those things were very helpful from what I came across. It's just this idea of paying extra for a group of training courses that just aren't up to date or aren't relevant at this time. That was the biggest kind of downfall for me. It wasn't a deal breaker, and I would probably do it again. I did not go through and watch everything at this point. I just haven't had time to, but I do like that they're there if I ever wanted to go back and look at them. So that's kind of my takeaway about purchasing courses. Now, there are a ton of courses out there, and there are a ton of Facebook groups specific to virtual assistant jobs. And so I wanted to take a moment to just talk about the Facebook groups that are out there for this service. I just be ready to have to decipher if something is true, if it's real, if it's a scam, if it's actually helpful for you or not. I had the opportunity to come across some different elements this summer that looked great, but doing a little bit more digging, they had red flags all over them and they were really just scams. I would be very careful about people offering you jobs just straight through Facebook. Look to see if there is a website that you can go to see more information about what they're doing, who they're connected with. There's not one thing that I can tell you that if you see this, this is for sure a scam, or if they're missing this, this is for sure a scam. But I would just be very, very diligent and make sure that you're not giving out any of your personal information without knowing if this is legitimate or not. Now, a few places that I did spend some time this summer, first was with Upwork. I had played around with Upwork before. I think the previous summer I had just kind of dabbled with that. I like to go out there and see what people are looking for specifically in this field. And so I spent some time there before this past summer. This past summer, I actually made an account and reached out to apply to some of these positions. And the process, for the most part, was not too bad. I do like that Upwork will come back later and tell you if a job is not actually following along with their guidelines, and they'll give you the credits back that you had to put in to apply to that position. So that was pretty interesting to me. And I didn't have very many of those happen. I did find that it worked better for me if I applied filters. So really looking for the keywords, I would go in, just a tip for that, I would go in and look for positions that are interesting to you and look at any of the keywords that they've put in there, any tags that they have in there, and then go back through the filters for Upwork and put those in for yourself as well to see what comes up. Sometimes these different companies, as they are reaching out for these positions, they'll use wording that may just be different from what you're used to using, but it's the same thing. Instead of saying Microsoft Word or, you know, Outlook calendars or whatever you might call it, switch it to the verb form of it. I do calendaring. You can change it to fit the style of the software that you're using. I know that I use Microsoft Teams a lot because we have access to it, and I am a firm believer, if you have access to something already, use it. There's no reason in having a million different subscriptions for things if you already have something that fits that need as well. So I use Microsoft Teams at my work, in my classroom. That's what we use because we have access to it. Slack is something very similar to that. And so a lot of the job postings would ask about Slack or some sort of project management software. And in here, you know, on the Microsoft side, it might be called something different than if I'm going somewhere when they're using Google. For me, if I learn a type of software well, I can easily translate it into something else that is similar. And then I can take a few minutes to pull up the free version of it, take some time to get used to it and see, okay, these are the items that are the same. For me, Microsoft Teams and Slack come up with that. I have not spent a lot of time using Slack myself, but the little bit that I've been on there, I see that it's very similar to Teams and that you're able to tag people and connect with them. You're able to have these channels and you can set up a video call. You can send them reminders or whatever. A lot of them are similar. And so instead of me forcing this idea of, you know, well, this Microsoft product is what I know and that's all I know and that's the best. Well, they may use something different, but it goes along with what I know. So there may be a position that's asking for Slack knowledge. And in that case, I can just say I have experience using project management software. I am familiar with integration between apps. Whatever. So you can change the wording to match that. And you can do a Google search on whatever software it is that they're looking for. And you can see what it correlates with from a different company or different brand. So what is this from the Microsoft side as opposed to the Google side? Those sort of things. And then make yourself, just change the wording on your resume or on your portfolio or whatever it is that you're sending out to make it fit that need for that type of software. And that's something that I think would be beneficial for a lot of people. Along with Upwork, I spent some time on FlexJobs, which I've used FlexJobs on and off for the past few years. Again, I am a nerd and I just like to go out and see what people are looking for in regards to different positions. It helps me go into the classroom and make sure that I'm relevant with what I'm teaching my students. So I've spent some time on these sites before. This year or this summer, I was actually using them for myself. And FlexJobs, I think there's so much potential there. I love the tests that they're able to give you right there in the system. If you make a score of, I think, 70 or a higher, they put it there on your profile so potential employers can see how you did on them. I like all of that. You can connect your LinkedIn to it. I just feel like I was so limited on being able to actually find a virtual position. One of the appeals of using FlexJobs is that you can find, supposedly, you can find jobs to work from home, and it just was not fitting my personal need for that. So I think FlexJobs has its place for a lot of people. Their virtual assistant opportunities, from what I saw, were more going through an agency. And these virtual assistant agencies, they're very picky because they're so full of people. So they're very particular about who they will let join their group and who they will use to meet some of these needs of these jobs. And it's not as easy to get into that position as these places make it seem. So I will say there's a lot of competition out there. And I would not quit your day job and expect that you're going to be sought after by all these places for a virtual assistant position just because you paid for some online class or something else. The position that I ended up getting is because I knew somebody. And I learned this the hard way when I was younger, that you have to network with people around you. I am a quiet person. I am an introvert through and through. If you looked up the word shy in the dictionary, my picture would be there, especially back when I was younger in college. I did not talk to anybody. And we didn't have social media or anything back then either to make connections with people. And that's one of my biggest regrets in life, is that I didn't let myself find my voice until I was older. And at this point, I've missed out on so many opportunities because I just was that quiet person in the corner who never said a word. And every job that I've had as a professional, I've gotten because of a connection that I had with somebody else. And that's how I found the job that I'm working right now. I saw a post on social media from somebody that I went to college with, and I just happened to see that they were looking for somebody as an executive assistant for her husband, and I reached out, and the rest is history. So that is, to me, the biggest thing is to network. Get connected with people that you know try not to burn your bridges on your way out. That's something that I've struggled with myself as well. I'm just done. So once I'm done, I'm just done and I just disappear. And that's not the way that it really works to have those connections in the professional world. And that's something that I just have to constantly remind myself of, is to make sure that I'm keeping the doors of communication open and that I am working to build relationships and then to keep relationships. And that's hard for somebody who struggles with those types of things. But for me, that's what I have found has been the most beneficial. If any of you are looking to get into the virtual assistant realm, I just wanted to give a little bit of an idea of what I went through these last few months. I will say I was able to find a position a little bit quicker than I was anticipating, honestly. Once I got into it and saw how saturated it was, I was not sure how long it was going to take for those connections to be met. And I just know that the Lord has opened up the doors for me, and I am so grateful for that. And I'm loving it. I do work as a virtual executive assistant on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I am a college teacher on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and that's what I'm doing for the time being. And in the next few months, some things will adjust with that as I move into the spring semester and my teaching schedule will change some. But that's kind of where I'm at right now.